Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldhar, and today Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Pei Ches, the 8th Perek of Chovel. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, the Tanakhama said that one who injures an Eved Kanani makes all five payments, but Rabbi Yehuda said that Avadim do not have Boshes payments. The Gemara explains that the Torah writes Achiv, brother, regarding Boshes, teaching, B'mishyeshu Achva, it applies with someone who has potential for brotherhood with Jews, excluding a slave who cannot marry a Jewess. The Rabbanan counter Achiv Huba Mitzvos, he is a Jew's brother regarding most mitzvos, and is therefore included in Boshes. The Gemara asks, according to the Rabbanan, a slave should be a valid witness, since they hold the slave fulfills the brother requirement written by Adim. The Gemara ultimately derives it from Mitzvah Shava, a Gazlan, who can marry a Jewess, is disqualified from Adas, although Mice of Garmelo, his actions cause his disqualification, a woman and a Katan are also disqualified. Although a woman is not fit for Mila, and a Katan is not obligated in mitzvos, a Gazlan is obligated in all mitzvos. Marbrei Ravina Darshan, Oyimusu Avos Albanim, fathers should not be killed because of sons, teaching that people are not killed on the Adas of Avos She'enuhem Chayes Banim, fathers who have no genealogical relationship to their sons, nor to their fathers, meaning slaves. Point number two, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba of Hagronia's mother, after marrying Rabbi Abba, wrote over her property to her son, Rav Shmuel. After she died, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Amma established Rav Shmuel as a property's owner. Rav Yehuda ruled otherwise, quoting Shmuel, Aisha Shemarcha B'nichse Meluk B'chei Bala U'mesa, if a woman sold Meluk property during her husband's lifetime and then died, Abba Motz Miyad Halukuchos, the husband collects the property from the purchasers. Thus, Rabbi Abba can take the property from Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba explained his position that since the Kinyan Peros, ownership of produce that the husband had in her property, is not tantamount to Kinyan Aguf, ownership of the property itself, he cannot prevent her from giving that property to her son. However, Shmuel's ruling was based on Takanas Usha, the enactment of Usha, where the decree to strengthen the husband's right to her property, allowing him to collect it from her purchasers after she dies, as Shmuel said. And point number three, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba quoted a mission discussing one who writes over his properties to his son to acquire after his death, whereby the son owns the physical land now, but the father retains the right to its produce until he dies. The Mishnah concludes that if the son sold the properties, the buyer is nothing until the father dies, indicating that he does acquire them when he dies. If the son dies before the father, without owning the produce himself, Rabbi Yochanan says, the purchaser does not acquire the property when the father dies. This is because he holds kinyan peros k'kinyan aguftami. Ownership of the produce is tantamount to ownership of the principal itself. Therefore, when the son who owned the property sold it, he was selling that which was not his, since the father retained the right to the produce. Rish Lakish says that the buyer does acquire the property after the father dies, although the son died first, and he says this case is included in the above Mishnah. This is because he holds the father's kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf. Therefore, when the son sold it, he sold that which is his. So once again, the 3 points are number one. In the Mishnah Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, the Tanakhama said that one who injures an Eved Kanani makes all five payments, where Yehuda said that Avadim do not have Boshes payments. The Gemara explains that the Torah writes Achiv, brother, regarding Boshes, teaching, B'mishyeshu Achva, it applies with someone who has potential for brotherhood with Jews, excluding a slave who cannot marry a Jewess. The Rabbanan counter Achiv Huba Mitzvos. He is a Jew's brother regarding most mitzvos and is therefore included in Boshes. The Gemara asks, according to the Rabbanan, a slave should be a valid witness, since they hold the slave fulfills the brother requirement written by Adim. The Gemara ultimately derives it from Mitzvah Shava, a Gazlan, who can marry a Jewess, is disqualified from Adas, although Mice of Garmelo, his actions cause his disqualification, a woman and a Katan are also disqualified. Although a woman is not fit for Mila, and a Katan is not obligated in mitzvos, a Gazlan is obligated in all mitzvos. Marbrei Ravina Darshan, Oyimusu Avos Albanim, fathers should not be killed because of sons, teaching that people are not killed on the Adas of Avos She'enuhem Chayes Banim, fathers who have no genealogical relationship to their sons, nor to their fathers, meaning slaves. Point number two, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba of Hagronia's mother, after marrying Rabbi Abba, wrote over her property to her son, Rav Shmuel. After she died, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Amma established Rav Shmuel as a property's owner. Rav Yehuda ruled otherwise, quoting Shmuel, Aisha Shemarcha B'nichse Meluk B'chei Bala U'mesa, if a woman sold Meluk property during her husband's lifetime and then died, Abba Motz Miyad Halukuchos, the husband collects the property from the purchasers. Thus, Rabbi Abba can take the property from Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba explained his position that since the Kinyan Peros, ownership of produce that the husband had in her property, is not tantamount to Kinyan Aguf, ownership of the property itself, he cannot prevent her from giving that property to her son. However, Shmuel's ruling was based on Takanas Usha, the enactment of Usha, with the decree to strengthen the husband's right to her property, allowing him to collect it from her purchasers after she dies, as Shmuel said. And point number three, Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba quoted a mission discussing one who writes over his properties to his son to acquire after his death, whereby the son owns the physical land now, but the father retains the right to its produce until he dies. The Mishnah concludes that if the son sold the properties, the buyer has nothing until the father dies, indicating that he does acquire them when he dies. If the son dies before the father, without owning the produce himself, Rabbi Yochanan says, the purchaser does not acquire the property when the father dies. This is because he holds kinyan peres kinyan aguftami. Ownership of the produce is tantamount to ownership of the principal itself. Therefore, when the son who owned the property sold it, he was selling that which was not his, since the father retained the right to the produce. Rish Lakish says that the buyer does acquire the property after the father dies, although the son died first, and he says this case is included in the above Mishnah. This is because he holds the father's kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf. Therefore, when the son sold it, he sold that which is his. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Peches, and our standard siman is a pach, a garbage can or a dustbin, depending on where you live. So pach is a siman. So here goes. When the Ebbe Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edus, he saw a man approach who threw his claim to his deceased mother's nixne melu property into the garbage can, since her husband took it, based on Tekana Susha. As another person was selling land his father wrote over to him, while his father retained rights in the produce until his death. Once again, it's a motion. When the Ebbe Kanani took the garbage can, that must be more on Daf Peches, Pach. When the Ebbe Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edus, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source that an Ebbe Kanani is disqualified as an aid. So when the Ebbe Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edus, he saw a man approach who threw his claim to his deceased mother's nixne melu property into the garbage can, since her husband took it based on Tekanas Usha, which reminds us, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba of Hagronia's mother, after marrying Rabbi Abba, wrote over her property to her son Rav Shmuel. After she died, Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba established Rav Shmuel as a property's owner. Rabbi Yehuda ruled otherwise, quoting Shmuel, that if a woman sold her nixne melu during her husband's lifetime and then died, the husband collects the property from the purchasers. Thus, Rabbi Abba can take the property from Shmuel Bar Abba. Shmuel's ruling was based on Tekanas Usha, the enactment of Usha, where they decree to strengthen the husband's right to her property, allowing him to collect it from her purchasers after she dies, as Shmuel said. So, when the Ebbe Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edus, he saw a man approach who threw his claim to his deceased mother's nickname, Malu property, into the garbage can, since her husband took it, based on Tekanas Usha. As another person was selling land his father wrote over to him, while his father retained rights in the produce, until his death, which reminds the Gemara brings a machlokas of a kinyan peres kinyan aguf regarding preventing a sale, such as the case of one who writes over his properties to his son to acquire after his death, whereby the son owns the physical land now, but the father retains the right to its produce until he dies, and then the son sells the land. So once again, when the Ebbe Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edus, he saw a man approach who threw his claim to his deceased mother's nickname, a loop property, into the garbage can, since her husband took it based on Tekana Zusha. As another person was selling land his father wrote over to him, while his father retained rights in the produce until his death. All right, so now it's time for Formula Bach Chazar. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Siman Daf Pei Dalet is a launch pad, and we often use a rocket ship. So here goes. The man in his rocket ship, that must be one Daf Pei Dalet. The man in his rocket ship he bought with the monetary compensation he was awarded for losing his eye, which reminds us, the Gemara brings three more sources that Ein Tachas Ein means monetary compensation. One of the sources is the Torah says regarding Eim Zomim, Yad B'Yad, a hand for a hand, which the Gemara explains as extra teaching, Davar Nitin Mi Yad L'Yad, something which is given from hand to hand, meaning money. So the man in his rocket ship he bought with the monetary compensation he was awarded for losing his eye, which he named Yad B'Yad, about to fly to Babel to collect more compensation for regular damages, which are common and involve a monetary loss, which reminds us a monetary collection is only made in Babel, but milsa the shchicha v'ispei chesron kis, in a manner which is common and also involves a monetary loss, such as a loan dispute. Therefore, when a person injures another, which is uncommon, damages are not collected. Boshas, humiliation, is not collected because it doesn't involve a monetary loss. Although Rav said that we collect damages one ox inflicts on another, we do not for Karen of a Tam, which is a Kanas, and a Mu'ud is an uncommon occurrence in Bavo. Rather, he is referring to damages under the categories of Shein and Regel, the Mu'adim and Chilasin, where they are considered Mu'adim from the beginning. So the man in his rocket ship he bought with the monetary compensation he was awarded for losing his eye, which he named Yad B'Yad, about to fight above it to collect more compensation for regular damages, which are common and involve a monetary loss, was approached by a man who said he owed him money for the pain he caused when the rocket ship's flames burned his fingernail. Which reminds the Gemara brings a Malkokas, whether one pays for its tzar and shalubah makam nezik, pain without damage, such as burning someone's fingernail. Daf pehe, so the simmer daf pehe relates to a peh, a mouth, and we use a dentist. So here goes. The poor dentist, that must mean we're in daf pehe. The poor dentist who got injured in his hand and was trying to evaluate tzar by assessing how much he would give to have it amputated by a painless potion versus a sword, which reminds us, the Gemara is how to evaluate tzar b'makom nezek, pain, where there's permanent damage. The Gemara ultimately explains we assess how much a person wants to give to have his hand, which is inscribed to the government for amputation, cut off regarding the difference in pain between the amputation by potion, which is painless, and by sword. So the poor dentist who got injured in his hand and was trying to evaluate tzar by assessing how much he would give to have it amputated by a painless potion versus a sword, noticed sores developed because of his excessive bandaging, still entitling him to ripui and shevis, which reminds us, Rava explains that all agree that permission is given to bandage a wound, and the assailant is liable for any resulting sores. But, it's not given for excessive bandaging, where the resulting sores are partially the victim's negligence. Rapido holds that he pays for healing because the repeated word rapo yirape to require a novel payment, but not an appointment. The Tanakama holds the linking of the two payments teaches that he even pays on employment, just like he pays for healing. So the poor dentist who got injured in his hand was trying to evaluate tsar by assessing how much he would give to have it amputated by a painless potion versus a sword, noticed sores developed because of his excessive bandaging, still entitling him to ripui and shevis, but only unemployment assessed as a shomer kashuim, which reminds us, Rava said that if one cut off someone's hand, he pays its value and the unemployment is assessed as a shomer kashuim, a watchman of cucumbers. If he then damages foot, he pays for it, and the unemployment is assessed as a doorman, since he cannot walk. If he blinded someone, he pays the eye's value, and the unemployment is that of grinding at a millstone. If he made someone deaf, he pays his full value and no unemployment because he can't do any work. Rava asks if someone successfully inflicted all these injuries on someone, but no assessment for payment was made until the end, do we make one single assessment obligating his full value, or is each injury assessed independently? Daf Pei Vav. So the simon Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The policeman, that must be on Daf Pei Vav, police. The policeman who got assaulted who received payment for unemployment, but not for damages since his broken arm was going to heal. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses paying damages for a temporary loss in value. The Gemara concludes that this question is a subject of machlokes between Abai and Rava. Abai says, no sinu shevas gadol shevas katan. He gives him payment for his major unemployment, meaning his temporary loss of value caused by his current inability to work, and for his minor unemployment, meaning his current loss of income as a shomer kashuim. Rava says, Enu nosin lo el demei shifto shibacho yom yom. He only gives him the value of his daily loss of employment based on what he normally earns, but does not pay for the temporary damages. So the policeman who got assaulted, who received payment for unemployment, but not for damages, since his broken arm was going to heal, was grateful he received a boshes payment assessed as an aristocrat who lost wealth, since he was a descendant of the Abbas, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis taught about boshes payments, Hakol Afia Mavayish V'Hamisbayish. It's all assessed according to the status of the humiliator and the humiliated. This is a Malchokas and a Brice where Rav Meir says that all victims are viewed as aristocrats who lost their wealth, Shem B'nei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, because they're the descendants of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. A poor person is not assessed according to his poverty, which would be too lenient, nor is a wealthy person assessed according to his wealth, for the claim would be endless. Rather, we use the above middle assessment which befits descendants of the Avos. Additional opinions are brought. So the policeman who got assaulted, who received payment for unemployment but not for damages, since his broken arm was going to heal, was grateful he received a boshes payment assessed as an aristocrat who lost his wealth, since he was a descendant of the Avos. Unlike the poor guy he found a while back who was humiliated when he was asleep and then passed away, who received nothing at all, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one who humiliates a sleeping person is liable. Rabbi Abba Bar Mama asks, Bishul Yashav Emes Mahu, if he humiliated him while he was sleeping and he died in his sleep and never realized he was humiliated, what's the halacha? Rav Zvid explains the question is Boshes payment for feeling embarrassment, and this one died without having any embarrassment, so the assailant would be exempt, or perhaps it's because of the public degradation to which he subjected his victim, and here too he degraded him, although he never knew. Rav Papa explains the inquiry differently. Daf Pei Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser, so here goes. The blind man who was Patrick of Mitzvahs who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display. Golden Pez candy dispenser? That must be Ron Duff. Pei Zion. The blind man who was putter from mitzvahs who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, which reminds us, Rebuta exempts a blind person from boshes, galus, malchus, and capital punishment, as well as all monetary laws. Another brisa adds, V'kenai Rebuta potrim kol mitzvahs amuras v'torah. And so Rebuta would exempt him from all mitzvahs in the Torah. This is because the Torah writes, V'ela mitzvos achukim v'mishpatim. Together, teaching kol she'yeshnu v'mishpatim yeshnu v'mitzvahs achukim. Anyone who is included in monetary laws is included in the commandments and statutes, but anyone excluded from monetary laws is not included in the mitzvahs. So the blind man who was putter from mitzvahs, who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, didn't see the girl who had come into the store to buy Pez candy with the money she received from getting injured, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar asked Rav, Achova babas katana shel acherim, if one wounds the minor daughter of others, chaval lami, to whom is the injury payment given? Do we say that since the Torah awarded all the gains of her na'aris to the father, he also receives the injury payment, since her value as a potential ame ivria was diminished? Or do we say that he only receives gains such as her kedushin money, because he can marry her off to whomever he chooses, but not injury money, since he's prohibited from injuring her? Rav responded that the father does not receive her damage payments. So the blind man who was putter from mitzvahs, who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, didn't see the girl had come into the store to buy Pez candy with the money she received from getting injured, nor the boy outside looking through the window whose money was put into trust when his father injured him, which reminds us. It was taught in a braisa, if one injures his adult son, he shall give him payment immediately. If he injures his minor son, he makes a trust for him. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which step do we have a question regarding one who injures someone's minor daughter regarding who gets to keep the injury payment, her or her father? That's on daf. Pezayin. Good number two. Which step do we discuss whether one gets paid in damages for a temporary loss in value? That's on daf. Pevav. Good number three. Which is the one that in Bavel they only judge cases that are milsed the shchich isbe chesron kis? That's on daf. Paydod. Good number four. What should do in the source that an Eved Kanani does not give Edus? That's on Duff. Peches. Good number five. What should do when there was taught in Bryce that if someone injures his minor son, the injury payment is put in a trust? That's on Duff. Pezayin. Good number six. What should do a question if Kenyan Paris is continuing a goof regarding preventing a sale? That's on Duff. Peches. Good number seven. Which step do you learn how to evaluate Tsar B'Makom Nezek, and the assessment is based on how much a person would pay for a painless potion versus a sword to cut off his hand? That's on Duff. Pehe. Good number eight. Which step is the case of a mother writing over her Nixay Malug to her son, and then she dies in the life of her husband? That's on Duff. Peches. Good number nine. Which step do you have a question whether one pays boshes for humiliating a sleeping person who then dies and was never aware of the humiliation? That's on Duff. Pevav. Good. And number ten. Which step do you have the mission that lists the Chamisha Devarim, the five payments that one is chayiv for personal injury? That's on Duff. Pei Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Yevram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.